Well, it's good to see everyone today. And before I get started, I want to make a quick announcement. We are having, ladies, this is for y'all. We are having our annual Christmas party on Friday, December 9th, here at the church at 6:30 p.m. So y'all put it on your calendars, Friday, December 9th. 6:30 p.m. And I will get it in the newsletter this week too. But we have so much fun whenever we get together, and we this will be potluck. So just bring whatever you want to bring. Just bring a dish. You can bring a side dish, a vegetable dish, a meat, a dessert, whatever you want to bring. We put it all together, and it's always wonderful. So I want everyone to encourage all of you ladies to come, and it's just a really good time. There's no teaching or preaching or anything. It's not like our women's events. This is just a Christmas party, and it's just a lot of fun, and we play games, and we have lots of good prizes and for the winners of the games. And we do a white elephant gift exchange. So bring an inexpensive gift, and then we'll do the exchange game, which is always a lot of fun. It's especially fun when you steal a gift from somebody else. So anyway, y'all don't want to miss out on the fun. So ladies, come December 9th, and we will have a good time. Okay. I have one in agreement with me there. Okay. Now, I'm going to bring a message today on Thanksgiving, the truth, celebrating Thanksgiving in America. Now, this is kind of somewhat, the first part of this message is kind of a history lesson. And it's important to know our history. Because these days, there are many that are trying to erase our history. We should not allow that to happen. We have a history, and our history, our American history, we can learn from our history, whether we did it right or whether we did it wrong, the good, bad, and ugly, it doesn't matter. Our history is our history, and it shouldn't be erased. It shouldn't be taken away, and it should not be changed, which many are trying to do today. So I feel it's important for us to know our history, and this is the history of Thanksgiving in America. And we need to know this too. So, the tradition introduced by European Americans of Thanksgiving as a time to focus on God and His blessings dates back well over four centuries in America. Did you know that? Well over four centuries. And, you know, we're only, what, 200 and almost 250 years old, something like that. I didn't do the math, but anyway. And, you know, this is talking about 400 years, but you'll find out. Okay, for example, such Thanksgivings occurred in 1541 at, listen to this, Palo Duro Canyon, Texas. I've been there. A lot of us have been there. That was in 1541 at Palo Duro Canyon, Texas, with Coronado. We all learned about Coronado in school, didn't we? Or you should have. And 1,500 of his men. In 1564, at St. Augustine, Florida, with French Protestant colonists. In 1598, at, here's another Texas one, El Paso, Texas, with Juan de Oñate. I'm not good at that. And his expedition. In 1607, at Cape Henry, Virginia, with the landing of the Jamestown settlers. In 1619 at Berkeley Plantation, Virginia, and many other such celebrations. But it is the primary, it is primarily the from the Pilgrims Thanksgiving celebration of 1621 that we derive the current tradition of Thanksgiving Day. Now I'm going to read you the story about it. The Pilgrims set sail for America on September 6th, 1620, and for 2 months braved the harsh elements of a storm-tossed sea. Upon disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they held a prayer service, and they made a covenant with God. It is important to know that the settlers, the Pilgrims, when they landed here, The first thing they did was pray, set up a cross, and made a covenant with God on the shores of America. Our nation has a covenant with God. Our nation was founded by our founding fathers upon the word of God. Okay, so they held a prayer service and then hastily began building shelters. However, unprepared for such a harsh New England winter, nearly half of them died before spring. Emerging from that grueling winter, the pilgrims were surprised when an Indian named Samoset approached them and greeted them in their own language, explaining to them that he had learned English from fishermen and traders. That was all the providence of God, the hand of God leading these fishermen to go there and teach Samoset English to prepare the way for the pilgrims. A week later, Samoset returned with a friend named Squanto, who lived with the pilgrims and accepted their Christian faith. Squanto taught the pilgrims much about how to live in the new world, and he and Samoset helped forge a long-lasting peace treaty between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag, I think is how you say it, Indians. Pilgrim Governor William Bradford described Squanto as a special instrument sent of God for our good and never left us till he died. So you can see the hand of God at work because he had these two Indians, Native American Indians, there to help the pilgrims. Otherwise, they probably would have all died. But they helped them. They taught them how to farm. They taught them all these things that they needed to know to survive. So God always has a plan, and he always goes before us to prepare the way. And he helps us. So this is a good example of that, isn't it? That summer, the pilgrims, still persevering in prayer and assisted by helpful Indians, reaped a bountiful harvest. As Pilgrim Edward Winslow, later to become the governor, affirmed, "God be praised, we had a good increase of Indian corn. By the goodness of God, we are far from want." They had abundance. The grateful pilgrims therefore declared a three-day feast in December 1621 to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends, America's first Thanksgiving festival. In December of 1621, 90 Wampanoag Indians joined the 50 pilgrims for 3 days of feasting, which included shellfish, lobster, turkey, cornbread, berries, deer, and other foods. Of play, the young pilgrim and Wampanoag men engaged in races, wrestling matches, and athletic events. You know, that sounds, you know, that maybe that's why that when I was growing up, whenever our family would get together and have Thanksgiving, all of us kids and some of my uncles, we would all go outside and play football. And every once in a while, they would throw me the ball. Not very often, but every once in a while. I was just a scrawny little kid back then. But that was always a lot of fun. And that was part of Thanksgiving. That was part of our Thanksgiving. Well, it was a part of the original Thanksgiving, too, by the Indian and American settlers. Okay, so they wrestling matches, athletic events, and of prayer. Of course, they had prayer. That was a big part of it. This celebration and its accompanying activities were the origin of the holiday that Americans now celebrate each November. So now we go forward to the 1800s, over two centuries later. And this is a little bit more history here, so listen up. Much of the credit for the adoption of Thanksgiving as an annual national holiday may be attributed to Mrs. Sarah Josepha Hale, the editor of Gottie's Ladies Book, a popular ladies book containing poetry, artwork, and articles by America's leading authors. For two decades, 20 years, she promoted the idea of a National Thanksgiving Day, contacting president after president, until Abraham Lincoln responded in 1863 by setting aside the last Thursday of that November. The Thanksgiving Proclamation issued by Lincoln was remarkable, not only for its strong religious content, but also for its timing. And the reason being was because it was delivered in the midst of the darkest days of the Civil War. With the Union having lost battle after battle throughout the first 3 years of that conflict. Yet, despite those dark circumstances, Lincoln nevertheless called Americans to prayer with an air of positive optimism and genuine thankfulness, noting that, and this is Abraham Lincoln's quote, "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." Because God is a merciful God. And I love the way they talked back then. You know, they used to talk, they sounded so eloquent. You know, I sure don't sound like that when I talk. Okay, now over the 75 years following Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation, presidents faithfully followed Lincoln's precedent, annually declaring a National Thanksgiving Day. But the date of the celebrations varied widely from proclamation to proclamation. In 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt began celebrating Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of each November. And in 1941, Congress permanently established that day as the National Thanksgiving Holiday. And it's been that day ever since, the fourth Thursday. As you celebrate Thanksgiving this year, remember to retain the original gratefulness to God that has always been the spirit of this, the oldest of all American holidays. This is our oldest holiday. And we need to remember what the pilgrims went through whenever they celebrated, before they ever was able to celebrate Thanksgiving, what they went through. But they persevered and they survived. And they started the tradition of Thanksgiving here in America. So, why is it so important to recognize and set aside a day of Thanksgiving as a nation? Why is that? Because when we recognize that our blessings, health, prosperity, and provision comes from God, and we are thankful by proclaiming our thankfulness and gratitude to God, He will continue to bless us. When we are an ungrateful people and do not recognize His providence, He will remove His hand of blessing and protection. He will remove it if we are an ungrateful, unthankful people. But His blessings and His protection is upon us when we are grateful, when we are thankful, when we have a heart of gratitude. It's so important. And as you're going to hear more about in just a minute. As individuals and especially as Christians, especially as Christians, we should have a thankful and grateful attitude and heart. In fact, it is imperative as a Christian to have a grateful attitude. It should be part of our Christian nature. It's part of God's nature. It should be part of our nature. And so I'm going to give you 4 points of gratitude. Number one, a good and grateful attitude will bring God's favor and blessings to your life. So that's what we just talked a little bit about. A good and grateful attitude, having a grateful heart, will bring God's favor and blessings to your life. We should be grateful and we should be thankful to God because He's done so much for us. And we take for granted many times all of the blessings of God. We really don't think about it. We take it for granted. We need to think about the blessings of God and the goodness of God in our lives and how He saved us. He has saved me from death several times. I would have been dead a long time ago. He's healed me of diseases that would have taken my life. There was no answer other than God. He healed me because He had a purpose and plan for my life. He's got you here today because He has a purpose and plan for your life. So seek Him and be thankful. Be thankful. Thank Him for His blessings. Number two. A good attitude contributes to good health and mental stability. Did you know that? A good attitude. A grateful heart. Gratefulness. It will cause you to have good health. It contributes to good health and a stable mental stability. Mental stability. You know, we hear a lot about mental, you know, people being mentally unstable and all the mental issues that are going on today in our world. Well, you know what? Looks like to me that this is something that will do away with that mental instability. A good attitude, a grateful heart, being thankful. It contributes to good health and mental stability. Number three, it's hard to have faith without a good attitude. Contrast it with a negative attitude. Think about it. Negative, a negative attitude. Negativity. You know what it promotes and contributes to? Doubt and unbelief. If we have a negative attitude, then it is going to cause us to be in doubt and unbelief. And the Bible tells us not to have an evil heart of doubt and unbelief because God sees that as evil. And it is. Doubt and unbelief. Doubting God. God, the creator of the universe, the master of everything. Our savior, our healer, our deliverer. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. But yet we doubt Him. And we find ourselves in unbelief because we don't believe His word and take Him at His word and stand up on His promises. We think we know better, but we don't. His ways are so much higher. His plans are so much higher. His thoughts are so much higher than ours. We are just finite, puny little people. We have to trust God. We have to believe Him and take Him at His word. And we have to be thankful and grateful. And faith. Gratitude. That's another thing gratitude does. It contributes toward faith. Faith and a good attitude and a grateful heart will help you to have faith. Faith and gratitude work together. We must remember that. Faith and gratitude work together. If you have no gratitude or thankfulness, you will have no faith. It works together. Number four, a good and grateful attitude is a Christian witness. A negative attitude is not. As Saint Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. We can preach the gospel without words by having a thankful heart and a grateful attitude. We need to realize the power of gratitude. Gratitude is very powerful. Faith is very powerful. Gratitude, to recap here, gratitude will bring God's favor and blessings. It contributes to good health and mental stability. And it helps us to have faith. It works with faith. And it is a Christian witness. When you see someone that is grateful and thankful, and they have that attitude, that good attitude, they have a grateful attitude. I mean, it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. And it's such a witness and a testimony. Especially if you're going through something and people may know you're going through something, but you still have a good attitude and you're still trusting God and you're still thankful to God. Wow, that is a great Christian witness. And we need to remember that as we go through things. So your attitude affects the way you treat people, the way you talk, and the way you live. Your attitude. Wow. It affects the way you treat people. If you have a good attitude, you're going to treat people better. If you have a bad attitude, you're going to be rude. You're going to be hateful. You're not going to treat people right. And the way you talk and the way you live. A good attitude promotes good living, good thinking, good speaking, everything. It makes such a difference. A good attitude, a grateful attitude. So we're going to look at some scriptures. Thanksgiving is a natural element of Christian worship and is to characterize all of Christian life. It characterizes our Christian life. Colossians 2:7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So as Christians, we are to be firmly rooted and built up in Him. And how do we do that? By getting in the Word of God, like Chris was talking about, reading your Bible. That is our instruction manual for this life on the earth. The Bible. It is so important. We need to know the Bible. As Christians, it is imperative that we know the Bible. We know what God says. We know what the promises of God are in His Word. We know how we should live. We know His moral standards. Moral standards, that's a big thing these days, or the lack of moral standards, values. They come from the Word of God. What is sin and what is not sin? We learn that from the Word of God. So we must know His Word. Then we will be firmly rooted and built up in Him. That means you have to read the Word. Read the Word every day. Read it. Make it a part of your everyday routine. Read the Word. Read the Word. Or listen to the Word. Listen to it. You know, you can listen to it these days. There's so many different ways that you can hear the Word, read the Word, study the Word. You can get it in you, and you have a lot of options. So we need to take advantage of that. And overflowing with gratitude. So when we are rooted and grounded in the Word and built up in Him, we will overflow with gratitude. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Okay, devote yourselves to prayer. Prayer is, putting it simply, communication with God. To communicate with God. We should devote ourselves every day to communicate with God. Talk to God. Doesn't mean you have to be down on your knees. You can be driving the car. You can be anywhere. You can be doing anything and communicate with God. That's how you get to know Him, by communicating with Him and, of course, reading His Word. Keeping alert. Okay, that is being vigilant. Be alert, be vigilant, because the devil roams around through the earth, seeking whom he may devour, as the Bible says. The devil's schemes. We have to be alert and be vigilant to recognize the devil's schemes, to recognize his plots against us. If we're never in the Word And if we're not alert and in prayer, we won't recognize it. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer and recognize the plots of the devil and recognize his schemes. Be vigilant, be alert, and with an attitude of thanksgiving. You know how it's not funny, but it's really something that it talks about all these things that we're to do, but we must accompany being thankful with it and being grateful with it. Why? Because there's power in it. There's power in gratitude. There's power in thankfulness. It helps us to overcome. It helps us to have the faith we need to overcome. And it moves the hand of God. Being thankful, being grateful, having that good attitude towards God, and being thankful, it will move the hand of God just like faith does. Because remember, it works together, gratitude and faith. So, now we're down to 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. We should be thankful to God who gives us the victory, because the Bible says we always triumph through Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter what it looks like, no matter if it seems like we haven't triumphed, we don't have the victory, but we do. We do. We always triumph through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. We are to thank Him in everything. But compare Romans 1:21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Because they did not honor God and they did not thank Him. They did not give thanks. They became futile. That means useless and ineffective. We don't want to be a useless and ineffective Christian, do we? God has no use for a useless and ineffective Christian. That's just being like a lukewarm Christian. And you know what the Bible says He does with lukewarm Christians. In case you don't know, it says He will spew you out of His mouth. It makes Him vomit. It makes Him sick. That's pretty powerful. I mean, that's strong. But that's what the Bible says. And we believe what the Bible says, don't we? So we need to live accordingly. And futile in their speculations. Speculations, this is opinion based on incomplete information. Opinion based on incomplete information. How many times do we base our opinion on incomplete information? I would say quite a bit. Especially this day and age that we live in. So, being useless and ineffective and basing opinion on incomplete information, not believing and living according to the standards of the Word of God, the full Word of God, their foolish hearts were darkened. That's not a good place to be. But look at the contrast of those, and then the contrast of the ones who are thankful and grateful. Oh, such night and day difference. Day and night difference. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So we're not to be anxious, to be stressed and worried, because when we are, that gives place to the devil. He uses that stress and worry against us. And if we're stressed and worried and anxious, it works against our faith. So we must have faith and not be worried and stressed and anxious, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving. There it is again. Don't just present your prayers and petition to God, but you do it with thanksgiving. That means answer, just thanking Him for the answer before it ever comes. Thanking Him before you ever see it manifested. You be thankful and grateful for what God has already done for you and what He's going to do for you. That attitude will take you a long way in your faith and take you a long way with God. He will move on your behalf when you present your request with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Be grateful. Be thankful. No matter what your circumstance is, no matter what it looks like, be thankful and be grateful, because knowing that God is with you and He will never leave or forsake you. That's what His Word says. And we believe His Word, don't we? Prayer with thanksgiving is powerful, and it will result in answered prayer. Remember that. Prayer with thanksgiving is powerful, and it will result in answered prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. Always be joyful. In Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That is that deep down abiding joy. That strength that comes from the joy of the Lord. And that's the only way it can come, is from the joy of the Lord, that deep down abiding strength. Because it's supernatural. It's a supernatural strength that you don't have other than the joy of the Lord. And it will strengthen your mind. It will strengthen your body. It will strengthen your spirit man. It will strengthen you in every area of your life if you allow God to bring that joyful, that deep down abiding joy. So always be joyful. The joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord. It will get you through a lot of hard times. Never stop praying. That means have an attitude of prayer. Be mindful to pray about things. Be mindful. Don't just go along every day and live your life and never pray. And never ask for God's guidance. Never ask for His help. Never ask. You have not because you ask not. We need to pray. He wants us to communicate with Him. But first, before we ask, we need to thank Him and be grateful. Be thankful in all circumstances. That's a hard one. That is hard. But we can do it. I have learned, it's so worth it. It is so worth it to be thankful in all circumstances and to trust God no matter what it looks like, how bleak it looks. It doesn't matter, because God is our victory. Jesus is our victory. He's already given us the victory. We have the victory through Him, and we can trust Him because He has a good future for us. He has only good for us and not evil to give us a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. We must remember it and we must believe it. Be thankful in all circumstances. Romans 8:28. For we know that God works all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Do you believe it or do you not believe it? We must believe it, that He will work all things for your good. He will. No matter how bleak it looks, how dark it looks, no matter what, He will work all things for your good. Trust Him. We must trust Him. And we are to always be thankful and grateful. Be thankful in all circumstances because we know He's going to work it for our good. Thanksgiving moves the hand of God just as faith does and will result in mountains being removed and sure victory for your life. Now, if you haven't already done so, I want to invite you to join the 408 Club. And you may have seen it in the newsletter, the e-newsletter that I send out every week. It's been in there for the last 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. And what it is based on Philippians 4:8, to think on things that are good and lovely, good report, and, you know, that scripture. And before we even ask God for anything, we should be grateful and thank Him for what He's done. And so this is, joining the 408 Club, what you do is set your alarm every day for 4:08, 4:08 p.m., not a.m., p.m. And when your alarm goes off, it reminds you to be grateful and to be thankful to God. And so I just stop whatever I'm doing, and I thank God for His many blessings. I thank Him for my family. I thank Him for my church. I thank Him for all that He's done for us. I thank Him for all that He's going to do. I thank Him for good health and salvation. You know, there's family. There's so much to be thankful for. And we don't ask for anything. We just thank Him. We just show our gratitude to God. So I invite you to do that. And if you get the e-newsletter, and if you don't, you can let me know, and I'll be sure you'll get it. But there's more information in the e-newsletter about it, but it's really important to be grateful and thankful and to let God know, to voice it. We need to voice it with our mouths. Voice it. Thanksgiving is paramount to the believer. So this week, as you celebrate Thanksgiving, remember the reason for the holiday and give thanks to God. So I'm going to pray for us now. Oh, Lord, Father God, we are so grateful. We are so thankful to You, oh, Lord. You are our Creator. You are our Savior. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You break the chains of bondage from our lives and set us free. Your blessings and Your abundance and Your provision are so great. You are our protector. You are our provider. You are the air we breathe. You are everything we are and everything we need. You are. And we are thankful for You, oh God. We are thankful for Jesus. Oh Jesus, that You laid down Your life. You gave Your life for us so that we can have freedom, so that we can be saved, so that we can be washed clean, made white as snow, so that we can have eternal life, so that we can go to heaven. But so that we can have abundance and freedom in this life. Oh, thank You. Thank You, Lord. There's so much that we should be grateful for. Put in our hearts an attitude of gratitude. Cause us to have a grateful heart and to be mindful of those things. As we go through our days, that we will be grateful and thankful, and that You will be in the forefront of our minds, and that being grateful for what we have will be in the forefront of our minds, and that we will no longer take it for granted, but we will be grateful and thankful. Thank You for all of Your blessings. Thank You for Your faithfulness, oh God, for You are a good, good Father. And we thank you and we give you praise this day. We are a grateful people, O God, and we are your people called by your name. And we dedicate ourselves to you this day, anew and afresh, to be a grateful people and thankful to you, O Lord, and all you've done and all you're going to do. And we thank you in this Thanksgiving season and this Thanksgiving week that we will look at it differently than we have before. And we will be grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.